Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And a good Tuesday morning, Philadelphia. I'm Andrew Salchunas filling in for Anthony Gargano. The Cuz will be back next Monday on August 1st. So you got me until then. Tom Alvord is producing the show, sitting in my normal seat. And we get to talk about a lot today, because the Eagles report to training camp today. Practices begin tomorrow. They report tonight, 6 o'clock. They will do their physicals, but that is a sign that football is back. So obviously we will have a lot of Eagles discussions today, but let's start off with the Phillies, because the Phillies had a major win yesterday. You just heard me on the crossover. I thought leading into the series that they would lose this series. I still think it's going to be a tough task to win the series. The Braves are just a better baseball team, let's face it. That doesn't mean the Phillies aren't a playoff team. And I'm going to have that conversation later on today as well, because I still hate that notion of, well, they're not going to win anything, so why even do anything? Well, we don't know that, because come playoff time, you never know. Like last night, I didn't think the Phillies were going to win yesterday, especially when they were losing. But stuff happens. It's the beauty of sports, the beauty of baseball. One swing of the bat can change everything. And so they get the win against the Braves yesterday. Everybody was down. Everybody, me included. Now, I still say they make the playoffs. And I said it yesterday when we were talking about the Phillies getting swept by the Chicago Cubs, which is just awful. A team that hadn't swept a team all season long. There were 20-plus games under 500 before the series. It was just a mess. There's no way they should lose that series. But then it's the typical, yesterday I said the opposite. Just when you thought you were back, they kicked you while you were down, and then, you know, curb stomped you and beat you with pipes while you're on the ground. That's what the Phillies do to you, because it's been 11 years since they made the playoffs, and then every time it looks like they may be turning the page, they lose something like that, and a lot of people get beat up and they don't want to watch anymore. But last night, they beat the Atlanta Braves, come from behind fashion. Bryson Stott, who has been struggling offensively all season long, but we know that he is a future part of this team. He hits the home run, and it's awesome. And so I want to ask the question right away, does this bring you back a little bit? Because I know that after getting swept by the Cubs, a lot of people were saying, you know what, I'm out. We ran a poll yesterday where 75% of people basically said that they were out. The majority of the voters said they were right away. They were out. Same old Phillies. That's what they said. Same old Phillies. I'm done. Goodbye. And it was like 50% of the voters said that. The next 25% said, well, we'll circle back after the Atlanta series. And I think we all kind of thought that they would lose the series. Now they start off well. They won one. They just have to win one more to win the series. But they still have their odds against them. And so if they lose the series, that means that next 25%, they're out, right? So that's 75% of the fan base that is out on the Phillies. And I know we're very reactionary. That's the beauty of sports. It's the beauty of being a fan. You're up, you're down. It's a constant roller coaster. And boy, is Philadelphia a roller coaster city when it comes to sports, with really nothing that amounts to much, right? They won Super Bowl in the last 5 years, and then that's it. It's been 2008, the last time we saw a title in this town. But, you know, besides the roller coaster, we're reactionary. We have a lot of fun when things are good, and obviously we're miserable when things were bad, and we were miserable after the Cubs. But last night, they beat the Braves, and I hope that brings some life back, because they may have been flatlining for a lot of people already, or maybe there was just a little bit of life left, and I hope that that sparks a little bit more interest in the fan base. And I'm going to go to Tom Alvord, who's producing the show. I'm going to go to him early today, because Tom, you were at the game yesterday. I know you were enjoying yourself, and we'll have fun with that later on today as well. But I'm sure you were coherent enough to understand what was going on at the time in the ball game.
If you say so, sure.
And it looked like it was dead, right?
Yes.
It looked like the game was over. They just lost three straight to the Cubs, and now they're going up against a good bullpen in Atlanta, and they're losing. And you're going, oh, God, here we go again. Now they're going to lose four straight games, which we saw just a couple of weeks ago before they swept the Marlins. They lost four straight games, and a lot of people were panicking at that point. They dropped the final two of their four-game series to the Cardinals, and they lost two games in Toronto. They lose three straight out of the break to a bad Cubs team, and we go, all right, 1-5 is what we hope out of this homestand now that they got swept by the Cubs. So I'm guessing before the Bryson Stott home run was hit, it was probably quiet there, no?
Yes, it was quiet. Very, felt kind of dead. But they, you know what? They got down early, and they had those bonehead plays early in the game.
Yep.
Two from Hoskins, the one from JT Realmuto that he wasn't able to stop back there at the catcher position. And that's a game that, like, especially coming off losing three straight games to a Chicago Cubs team, who we've said it a ton of times, we're 22 games under 500 coming into that series.
Stink.
Game one against the Braves, one of the hottest teams, if not the hottest teams in all of baseball. For you to get down 3-0 with just Ranger Suarez on the mound, it's not like you have Wheeler out there or anything like that. Now, Suarez has been better, and he was good last night. They settled in, they came back, and they just hung around, and that's all it took. And then A.J. Minter, a dude who allowed one homer to a lefty in his entire career coming into that eighth inning. You get a rookie in Bryson Stott, who's been playing pretty well, actually, since Bryce Harper's been on the IL. Yeah, it had a dead feeling in that, but hey, man, like I said, new Phillies team.
Yeah, well, that's the thing.
It just feel like they don't win that game.
No.
They don't last year or the years prior to that. They do not win that game. I know we're going to be angry about this Cubs series for the next couple weeks.
Of course.
Probably until, like, a playoff berth is clinched, we're going to be mad about that Cubs series. But you know what good teams do? They respond. And that was a great response last night from the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, I mean, you think about another ridiculous stat like that with A.J. Minter, not one in his career, but Josh Hader hadn't blown a save since, what, June of last year, and hadn't allowed a home run to a lefty in a long time.
Yeah, it was like tied for like the longest scoreless streak from a reliever or something going into the game,
And Matt Vierling hits a home run off of him, and then Alec Bohm hits a home run off him, one of the best closers in baseball, and you go, whoa, what just happened here? This team, like you just said, this team last year before, the Gabe Kapler years, they don't win this game. And yet all of a sudden there's a little bit of a different magic with this team. And they're more talented. I mean, let's face it, that's a big part of it. Bryson Stott, because he's struggling so much offensively, and it's bad, right? I've been on him for it. He's been hitting below 200. You see the numbers and you go, all right, this guy might stink. But no, he doesn't. Like, he's one of the top prospects on this team. He's up at the major league club, and you know that he has talent, and maybe he's still trying to figure his way through the major league, you know, style of play. And he hits a home run yesterday, a big home run. He's had a couple of big home runs this season.
Yes.
Like, right? Like, he's been clutch at times this year, which is really cool. And so this team, they're not good enough for wins to be locks, right? Like, listen, I said that they were going to win the series against the Marlins. I thought it was an absolute lock. And look, they swept the Marlins. That was awesome. I also thought it was a lock for them to win the series against the Cubs, if not sweep the Cubs, because the Cubs are a worse team than the Marlins. And then they get swept. So clearly this team, without Bryce Harper, without Gene Segura, without Zach Eflin, having to run maybe two bullpen games a week, you know, if Sanchez and Bailey Falter both have to pitch in that week, this team is clearly not good enough. It's not deep enough right now with all these guys out for you to say it's a lock win this day or the next. Because even when Wheeler starts, he could give up one earned run and lose 1-0. We just saw it a couple days ago, right? So they're not good enough to be locks. But they're not a bad baseball team, right? Like, they're not. And clearly you see it again last night, another come-from-behind win, because it's a team, it's a lineup that you can't count out. Even though some of the numbers aren't great for some of these players, it's not, you know, like years past where you're relying on Ronald Torres to get a big hit in a big spot. Is Bryson Stott having a better average than Ronald Torres last year? No, but you know that he is better talent, overall talent, than a guy like Roto, right? Like, you're not relying on Brad Miller. Bamboo Brad had the third most home runs on the team last year. That's awful. You're not relying on Brad Miller to be the guy to step up for you this season. So just as I could say that they're not good enough to be locks for you to say, like, you could say you're crazy to think that they're definitely make the playoffs this year, they're not good enough. Fine, you can make that argument. But I can also say, well, they're not as bad as a team as they have been in years past, and I don't think this is a team that will have a September collapse. I think they got a lot of it out of the way early. They are above water without Bryce Harper and Gene Segura in the lineup. Segura should be coming back soon. He's beginning his rehab stint. Bryce Harper, I know it wasn't the best news yesterday. They're going to reevaluate him again next week. He is ahead of schedule, which is a good sign. And when you get those two guys back, and also the trade deadline, which they should make a move. If they don't, I don't blame anybody for being out. And we'll discuss that later on the show as well. I think this team is only going to get better. It's going to be like the old saying, well, him coming back from injury is almost like we acquired somebody. Yes, but you should still also go out and acquire other players like a starting pitcher. Dave Dombrowski spoke yesterday to the media. He straight up said, we do believe Zach Eflin will pitch again at some point this season, but We're not going to rely on that. We're going to try to make a move. So Dave Dombrowski is telling you right now that they are going to acquire, they're going to try to acquire a starting pitcher for this rotation. That should excite you. Let's see what they do with center field. There are a lot of options out there. That excites me. So I'm feeling good about the Phillies. And you know what, Tom, before we move on to the Eagles conversation, we got to play it. Here it is. Bryson Stott hit a little earth, wind, and fire for me, Tommy. Here's the home run last night.
Go. Pitch is lined out toward right field. It's deep. Acuna's going back. It's gone! The Phillies take the lead. A three-run home run by Bryson Stott. He got a pitch he could handle, and he smoked it into the seats in right field. And the Phillies have turned this game around.
Yes, see, that fires me up, man. I don't need a new, I'm not going to do Chunas train right now because I still don't feel great about this series. They're going up against a ridiculously good pitcher today in Strider. Charlie Morton's a stud. They're facing him tomorrow night. So they could still lose the series, but obviously a win like yesterday makes you feel a lot better. Even if they do drop the next two, I'll be completely honest with you. You feel a lot better with a win like last night. And then you have the four games against the Pirates next, and then that leads you to the trade deadline. So I'm still feeling good about the Phillies. I hope you are as well. Let's talk about it at 610-632-0975. But also, training camp. The Eagles report today. I know that's going to fire up a lot of people. I'll tell you right now, the excitement will last probably like 36 hours. Right, like 24 hours from now will be 10-12 Wednesday morning. And Nick Sirianni will have already spoken to the media, and I'm sure we'll play some of that tomorrow. And then, of course, practice will begin. And then you'll get the members of the media that are recording the 7-on-7 drills, and look how explosive this guy is. Here's new look linebacker N'Kobe Dean. His pec injury's looking fine, right? We'll get all those videos. We'll hear from a bunch of players and all that kind of stuff, and that's going to excite everybody. And then, you know, another 12 hours will go by, and it'll be 10 o'clock at night, and you'll go, oh, that was a nice day. When's the season start, right? So I know it. I'm a bit of a hypocrite because as excited as I am today, the team is reporting, and as excited as I am for the first day of practice tomorrow, I know we're all going to be excited for the start of the season. And here's why. Because we have high expectations for this team, right? Like, we are excited for this team. There's not many holes on this team. There's not many question marks on this team, like question marks where you lean more toward the negative, like Jalen Hurts. Maybe he's not the guy, but we'll find out. This is his final really year, full season. No Gardner Minshew conversation. This is Jalen Hurts' season. Let's see what we got. I mean, think about it. This team, they may not be Super Bowl contenders right now, but if Jalen Hurts plays to a level that a lot of people think he can, like that top 12 quarterback that a lot of people think he can be, then they are Super Bowl contenders this year. And I want to ask you a question today. Where is your excitement level? And I know that seems like a very like blah question. But the reason why I ask it is because the Eagles traded, they acquired James Bradberry. They signed him to the one-year deal. And I remember we were at the Brian Dawkins golf outing. And it was really cool. A lot of those 04 Eagles were there. If you were listening to the segment where they all came up to the radio booth and you heard Anthony just going ballistic in a good way, right? And it was awesome. It was so cool. And we were fired up, right? Because, you know, for me and Tom, that was our childhood Eagles. And you know, in the older generation, may not be your childhood team, but that was some of the best success you've ever seen as an Eagles fan when they make it to four straight NFC championship games and they make it to the Super Bowl. Obviously, they lose to the Patriots, but looking back at it, that is one of the more successful eras of your Eagles lifetime, right? So it was an awesome day. And it started with the James Bradberry signing that nobody really kind of expected, right? Like, wait a minute. They just got who? This is real? This is not Adam Schlechter? This is the real guy who was reporting the Eagles are signing James Bradberry when you already have a legit number one corner? Now you have two legit corners on the outside? Is that allowed? Are you allowed to have that in Philadelphia? So that was such a cool day. That was a long time ago, right? And so you can only really react to James Bradberry for, like, what, one news cycle? Right. And then you start doing you look at the roster and you get excited for that for a couple of days. And then a storyline will pop up. here's what this person said about the Eagles. We did the ESPN coaches and executives and scouts ranked the top 10 players at each position. So you find ways to talk about the Eagles that way. And everybody's kind of in. Everybody's kind of excited. But, you know, May becomes June. June becomes July. We're almost in August. It's been a while since there was really a buzz, like a total buzz. Like I have not gotten that same sense. I'm here 6 days a week, pretty much the same time slot, 10 to 2 Monday through Friday, 9 to 12 on Saturday. So I kind of have those same hours at some point. And I feel like the buzz is not gone. Like it's still there. Like people are excited for the Eagles season, but right now it's been quiet because there's been a lot of time since the Eagles really made a lot more news. The Phillies have been exciting enough where it's been on the forefront of your mind. The Sixers offseason, and of course the playoffs, that's been on the forefront of your mind. The Flyers had a disastrous week where Chuck Fletcher thought that this offseason was good, and they think that they're still close. So that kind of took over the news cycle. So the Eagles have been on the back of people's minds, not on the forefront like we're used to. And so they arrived at training camp tonight. Physicals tonight, practice starts tomorrow. So where is your excitement level heading into the season? Because mine's at, I don't want to say all-time high, but it's higher than it's been for the last couple of seasons, right? You're always excited for the start of a new football season. But there's a different vibe this year, right? Last year, I will say it over and over again, I am so happy that they made the playoffs. I loved that they made the playoffs. I was the one championing on this time slot for them to continue to push to make the playoffs because playoffs are better than no playoffs, right? But I didn't think they would make the playoffs last year. I thought they lucked into the playoffs. They had a very favorable schedule, favorable injuries on opposing teams. COVID was affecting the teams that they were playing. They were playing quarterbacks that aren't even in the league anymore, right? And not because of retirement, because they sucked. Right, those are the quarterbacks that they played.
Of lack of skill.
Yeah, like they were terrible. Second half of the season, they had a very beneficial schedule with things that happened, other factors to the opposing teams. So they lucked into the playoffs, and they got into the playoffs, and look, they got obliterated by the Buccaneers because they really didn't belong. But it's different this year. They do belong in conversations of winning the NFC East. They belong in the conversation of hosting a playoff game, of winning a playoff game this year. Whether Hurts takes a giant leap or not, they're good enough to have that conversation. So where is your excitement level? I want to hear from you at 610-632-0975. And I really want to focus on the coaches today. Because so much has been made of the roster this offseason. Well, duh. I mean, look, Howie Roseman, who I'm not the biggest fan of. I'm a guy who gives credit when credit's due, no matter what walk of life, no matter who it is, no matter what sport, job, industry, you name it, you get credit where credit is due. And Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit for the draft last year. You started seeing a lot of the guys pan out. And this latest draft, even though we haven't seen them play yet, everybody likes the draft. Like Jordan Davis is a good pick. N'Kobe Dean, great pick. Like you're fired up about all that kind of stuff. You acquire A.J. Brown on draft day. Howie Roseman deserves a lot of credit. You get excited seeing two talented wide receivers. A.J. Brown is the best wide receiver since DeSean Jackson here in Philadelphia. The first time around, okay? He's the best wide receiver since DeSean Jackson. And I love Devontae Smith. So I'm excited you have two of those guys. Dallas Goedert could make the case at some point that he could be better than Zach Ertz down the road. We'll see. And then, of course, the defense is better. So much has been talked about this offseason about roster construction, giving Howie Roseman credit, the new talent that you've seen. Jalen Hurts, is he the guy moving forward? Yes or no? 6-1-0, right? Like all of that kind of stuff. But we really haven't talked much about the coaching staff. Nick Sirianni is entering the second season of his career. Shane Steichen, third season as an offensive coordinator, second year in Philadelphia. He's going to be the full-time play caller unless things don't go well and Sirianni takes back over. But remember, the last time Nick Sirianni spoke, he told us that Shane Steichen is taking over play calling duties. When Nick Sirianni was first hired, there was a thought that he was like this offensive genius, right? He's one of these new up-and-coming offensive minds. He's already given up play calling. Do you feel good about that? I give him credit for doing it. Too many coaches are stubborn. Too many coaches in all sports are stubborn, and that is sometimes, you know, the thing that hurts them the most. He's given up play calling. And then there's Jonathan Gannon, who I don't think is a good defensive coordinator. I don't think he had a clue last year. Now, has he learned? We'll find out. But his only excuse last year was the lack of talent. I thought game planning wasn't good. But the excuse that a lot of people who believe in Jonathan Gannon that they made last year was the lack of talent. That's out of the window this year. You have talent on the defensive side of the ball this year. So I want to talk about the coaching staff because I still think it's a mystery. Anthony always says it. Andy Reid was a conversation day in and day out on sports radio when he was here, right? Constantly. Same with Chip Kelly. Same with Doug. Early on, Doug, right? People wanted him fired after week one. He ended up winning the Super Bowl. But Sirianni's gets very little run, except when it's what t-shirt is he wearing? And, oh, he sounded like an idiot during his press conference. He's not going to make it here, which I heard people in this building say. And I said, well, can we wait a second? Like, hold on a second. Just because he wasn't a good public speaker, let's chill out a little bit. So I want to talk about the coaching staff at 610-632-0975. So the Phillies, a big win yesterday. For the people that said they're out after the three-game sweep, getting swept by the Cubs, I don't blame you for being disappointed, but don't say that you're out. They're not that bad of a baseball team. They win yesterday. So does that bring you back a little bit? You can admit it. I'm not going to bash you for it. I want you to admit it, though. And the Eagles, they report to camp today. Where is your excitement level and the discussion on the coaching staff? What you feel about Sirianni, what you feel about Gannon, what you feel about Steichen. We'll talk about that all for the rest of the show today, and we got a whole lot more. The Choco Taco debate will be had.
R.I.P.
Jerseys that are coming back. I love it. We'll discuss that more later on the show. We have all kinds of stuff in store for you, and you can jump in at 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. We're filling in for the Cuz right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Thoughts.
Wake up, Philadelphia!
No! God, please, no! No!
Time now for Morning Thoughts.
Hey, lady! Shut up!
Will you just shut your trap?
Shut up!
Please go away. Let me sleep for the love of God!
Because what were you thinking about this morning?
Well, first off, that alarm, I heard it. So even though Cooper woke us up at 4, it's not, Christy didn't remember to turn off the 4:30 a.m. alarm. So I heard that noise, not radio related, for the first time since she went on leave. It's been that long.
Really?
Yeah, because like it's not like we had to wake up. The baby cries.
Did it send chills down your spine at all, or no? Does it not bother you?
I was fine. No, because I do hear it every day.
My girlfriend had to change the alarm sound because she hated it so much. Swear to God.
What did she change it to?
Some song. She did like some song or something like
okay.
that, which is now annoying to me, and it's an artist we like too, so I'm annoyed by that.
So, my best friend Jimmy had, for some reason, one song on his iPod, and it was because of, I forget which Madden it was, but it was Lil Wayne's 6 Foot 7 Foot.
Okay.
And so, because it was the only song he had on his iPod at the time, he made that the alarm.
Okay.
And so whenever that song plays, he gets like...
gets the chills.
He gets the chills, yeah. Because it was like a high school alarm,
yeah.
Which is the worst. Because now for some reason, you're getting up earlier than you do now as an adult, which, you know, I will forever complain about that.
For 8 hours.
Yeah, change the time of high school, please, and school. Like, it's ridiculous. But whatever, I digress. So I survived hearing the alarm this morning. But the reason why I said, speaking of morning thoughts, I was talking about, you know, looking forward to Friday because of cheat day, is... I love my everyday life. I do. Like, this is, I have a great job. But do you start looking forward to, like, is life about looking forward to things as you get a little bit older? Because, you know, I've now entered the stage of my life with a baby that I can't go, I'm going to go to the bar today. Like when I was a man yunk and, you know, dude, when Christy was working nights, 3 days a week, right? You know, I had the house myself. I did whatever I want. You know, it was like, I'm going to the bar today.
Yeah.
$5 beers at this spot, wing night at this spot.
No responsibilities.
None whatsoever. You know, it's different now, right? So this Saturday is my buddy's engagement party. Alex, he and his fiance M. Alex was in my wedding, so I'm in his. It's awesome. Can't wait to go this Saturday because my parents are going to watch the baby.
Nice, very nice.
And I'm going to have no responsibilities for like 4 or 5 hours. Is that adulthood?
I think so.
Like looking forward to things, and then when that party's done, do I then start looking forward to the next thing?
Yes.
Yep. Like I start going, oh man, what's that next thing I'm looking forward to? Because if I can't think of it, I'm going to start freaking out.
It's just 29 days of that, of stress like that, and then one day a month of like, wow, I'm excited. I'm excited for something.
So I am so excited for Saturday, and that's what I was thinking about this morning. It was day one of me being, you know, I'm home with Coop because she leaves for work at 6:20 a.m. I don't leave for work until, you know, between 8:15, 8:30. So I had 2 hours, and I was like, oh, Saturday's going to be really fun.
You just thought about it for 2 hours.
Yeah. So that was my morning thought. And, of course, that Saturday, I'm probably going to imbibe a little bit like you did last night.
Thanks for the reminder.
Good morning, Tom.
Hey, how are you?
Are you, like, kind of back to form at this point?
I'm getting there, buddy. We're good. So, yesterday, we had a Phillies game. We did a big tailgate and stuff like that we did for Yards, as you mentioned, that I worked there also.
Yep.
As being part-time here. So, we had a company Yards Phillies game. Our Christmas party got canceled because of COVID, and all, you know, COVID was crazy around Christmas time.
The Omicron.
Yes, correct. So they decided to do a Phillies game. They closed down the tap room. They closed at 3, and we all did the Phillies game. There was like 100 people there.
Dude, at 3?
3 o'clock, yeah. Yep.
Whoa.
So we were there at 4 o'clock. Got the train in. Got there around 4:28 exactly is what.
Wow, so you started drinking early.
Oh yes, and it didn't stop anytime soon after that.
That's awesome.
So you know, usually when I'm part time, if I'm not filling in, my hours can be weird. Like some days I have off Monday, Tuesdays, and stuff like that. Other days or other weeks, it's like Wednesday and a Friday, or so. It's weird, you know. So like usually I don't have to be up at 7:30 in the morning to get ready to get the show here.
Yes.
So I knew this all along, and I knew that I was going to be. I would have to be up early to get in and then talk on the radio for 4 hours straight, which, you know, isn't the easiest thing to do if you are hungover. I know there's harder things out there to do, like have a child when you're hungover, I'm sure. But, so I need help out there. People, please. What is your go-to hangover cure? Because I'm hurting a little bit. Just a little bit.
Yeah, see, like, I'm not good at it, right? I'm usually just a power through it. I am very good at chugging the water at night.
Yeah,
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what status of drunk I am at. I am good at usually chugging a water bottle just to be like, all right, this is going to help me in the long run.
Yes, it's worth it.
Even though I have one eye open right now, it's going to help out in the long run. Yeah, you know, I'm really just a coffee the next day and you know, power through it. But I do know that there are people. A friend of mine. I still remember, dude. It was crazy, and this is one that a lot of people will have. It was a New Year's Eve party, so it was God knows what time, and he chugged the Pedialyte or Pedisure, whatever, the baby one.
The night before or the day after?
The night before, like before he went
going to bed.
Sleep.
Yeah.
And dude, he woke up. He was the drunkest out of everybody.
Okay.
At like 4 in the morning.
We've all been there.
He woke up at 8. So he did the Undertaker, you know, sprung up, and he was ready to go. And
that's,
I was like,
awesome.
I was like, whoa. And that was before they... You know, now they're starting to do commercials
for it.
Yes,
yes.
Like, that was before it was, like, commercialized, and a lot of people talked about it. He did it, and I was like, oh, all right, so that stuff works. So that's one.
I've never tried the Pedialyte. My buddies, like, you know, that's all they do if a night before drinking, night after drinking, whatever it may be, because it's what? It's just hydration pretty much at that point.
Yes.
So I've never tried it, but I feel like it's something I should try. So the go-to for me... is always grease,
yeah.
And an orange Gatorade, and a couple Advil, and I am a new man.
So you watch John Travolta, do grease, and then you take an Advil.
That's exactly. Need to watch John Travolta.
Go grease, lightning, go.
And then I'm good to go. Before that, don't talk to me.
Okay.
But yes, usually a greasy sandwich. Unfortunately, today I didn't have time to cook the greasy sandwich. It was either, you know, wake up 20 minutes early and cook it, or get an extra 20 minutes of sleep, which may have saved me there, Andrew. So
I made the right decision. There's Pagano's downstairs.
I know, which I'm thinking of doing. So I'm thinking that's my go-to. But I know everyone out there, we've all... for the most part, have had that hangover that we didn't want to have.
Alyssa checks in. Fountain Sprite. That's her go-to.
Dude, that's the lunch.
The Fountain Sprite. And then Gene, my man Gene, awful Gene, for the first time you and I agree on something. Stay drunk. Well, you can't do that. You can't do that because you're at work today. So he can't do that one, Gene. But thanks for your input. All right, that'll do it for Morning Thoughts. Thank you for that. Let's help Tom out. That's the beauty of this show. When I always talk about needing parenting advice, we need to help Tom out. He's having a rough start to the day today. You're doing fine. I wouldn't know it.
I appreciate that.
I think you're doing a great job staying, powering through it. You might hit a wall at like 1 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm waiting for
it. I might too. So let's see who hits it first. But no, I'm proud of you. You're
Thanks,
fighting
man.
Through it.
Trying my best.
So let's help Tom out. My first day hired here. So I was an intern.
I think I heard the story.
June of 2014. So a lot of things revolved around drinking here. Okay. Really think about that one.
It's weird how it works.
I've told the story that I applied drunk to the internship program.
Yes.
And got a phone call from Coach Camille a week later saying, are you still interested? And I said, of course I am interested in that thing that I
did. Remind me what that thing is.
Yes.
Again.
Yeah, sure. I'll be there for the interview. My first day after I got hired, because I was an intern from June of 2014 to December of 2014. My first day of training was December 20th. My 21st birthday was December 19th. So I did the midnight thing. So during the day of December 19th, I wasn't working, but then I went back out the night of my birthday and I had to be in here at 5:45.
Cause you have to do the morning show
on December 20th.
Yes.
Yeah. And, Joe Boyle, who was a producer that, he was gone not too long after I started. So you have no idea who Joe Boyle is. Joe Boyle did what all good producers do when it's training. All right, I'll watch you. You got this. Figure it out on your own. And I'm like, okay. Thinking that I may have had a nice kind of cushy day.
First day, yeah.
Sit back, watch over his shoulder. No. Get to work, kid. And I was like, oh, okay. Thanks, man. It was great.
And there's not many worse things to do when you're hungover than cutting audio and listening to it blare in your ears back there.
At 5:45 on a Saturday morning or something like that. Yeah, it was great. All right, we'll reset
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.